Well, thank you so much for that beautiful music. I tell you what, folks, you just can't improve singing about the blood. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, some of you looking, I like sitting up here sometimes and just scanning out across the audience and watching people as we sing and worship the Lord and stuff. Some of you need to get excited about the blood again. Some of you, I think, you've gotten over, your exciter's broke or something, but some of you's gotten over what Christ has done for you. We need this morning to be renewed again in our spirit what Christ has done for us. Folks, may I say this morning, the only hope you and I have in this world is what Christ did more than 2,000 years ago, that He came to this world and He gave His life. He gave His life that you and I might have life and have life abundantly. And that's the only hope we have in this world. And I tell you, some of it, we need to stop and think again about what Christ has done for us. Thank God for the blood this morning. We need to thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for that unspeakable gift that God has given us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As many of you, as Brother Tony's already mentioned and said, that obviously our pastor, Brother David, and his family are away. They're up in Indiana spending some time with their family. So if you're a first-time guest with us today, I am not the senior pastor, and so I'm filling in today for Brother David. So you'll want to come back. We invite you to come back. You'd love to, an opportunity for you to come back, meet him and his family, and to hear him. And so just want to let you know that. But please continue to be in prayer for them. They have my daughter with them also, so please be in prayer for them, and God will give them traveling mercies there and back. They'll enjoy themselves and have a good time. I believe they'll be back in town sometime on Tuesday. So anyhow, if you are a first-time guest, we want to tell you thank you for being here today. Parkway folk, let's make sure, if you spotted those and you know that they're here and they're a guest, please make sure that we make them feel welcome and tell them we're excited and glad they're here, and we want them to come back. Amen. And so we need to make sure we are friendly to those that God brings by our way. Amen. Well, all right, I want you, if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand once again this morning. And I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. As you're turning there, man, I enjoyed those bloopers. Isn't it just like when the pastor's away, somebody pulls out the blooper reel? I don't know whose idea that was, but it was classic. I love it. I was going to say, do we have any more? While he's not, hey, while the cat's away, the mouse got to play, right? So what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Amen. So if you got more of those, we'll hang around, maybe show some more. But I enjoyed that. That's fun. But anyhow, that being said, this morning I want you to take your Bibles and look to James chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says this morning, as I speak on this topic or this message, giving the perfect gift. Giving the perfect gift. The Bible says in James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you for the truths, the timeless truths, God, you have given us in the canon of Scripture. Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you to worship you in spirit and truth, to praise you and magnify and exalt you, and I pray our one desire, God, today as we gather together as a body of Christ is to make much of Jesus. Lord, I don't want to do anything else today. It's not about me. It's not about the singing and the music, as beautiful as all that is. God, we simply just offer ourselves in that which you've blessed us with, and talents and gifts. We offer it back to you, Lord, to worship you, to make much of you. And I pray this morning we'll do just that, that everything that goes on in this service and on these grounds, Lord, would make much of you. God, I pray that you would just sit down amongst us this morning and get honor and glory to yourself. I pray that, Lord, you'd find here at Parkway that it's a place where you can sit down, where you can get honor and glory, that you would be magnified and exalted. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, right now, God, would you fill this place with your presence, with your power, and with your holy anointing. Lord, I need you this morning to anoint me, O Lord. Pour me out, fill me up afresh and anew with thy spirit. Anoint my lips that, Lord, I can even speak your words, Lord, today. God, I pray that you'd anoint the ears of the listener, everyone that's under the sound of my voice this morning. Will you anoint their ears, open their hearts and their minds, and let them be receptive and attentive to that which you deliver unto us through your word. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, today, if there's one amongst us that has never known the free gift that's been given unto them in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for us, that does not know the free pardon of sin, I pray this morning, Lord, especially for them, God, that they would have, that you would have their undivided attention. And God, I pray that you would have our undivided attention, each and every one of us. Clear our hearts and our minds, our thoughts. God, let us be solely focused on you. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do to accomplish and is accomplished in your precious name. These we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I wanted to preach this message titled, Giving the Perfect Gift. Now no doubt, as I said earlier, it seems as and always, Christmas has come and gone. Here we are, all the preparation, all the things that lead up and build up to that special moment, that special couple of days where we get to get together with our family and friends and loved ones to celebrate what Christ has done for us, the birth of Christ, his first coming to this world, and all of that goes on and constitutes what we know as Christmas, as born-again believers. And you know, it seems that the more we try, and obviously if you've been here in the past several weeks, the messages that Brother David have brought have discussed that very thing of how the world and what the world thinks of Christmas and what the world makes of the holiday seasons, how it has infiltrated the very church. Even us as believers, we've been infiltrated with the commercialization of Christmas. And as much as we have been prodded and we've been provoked that we want to make sure as born-again believers, as the body of Christ, that we not allow that infiltration into our own lives, but that we don't lose the true meaning of Christmas, the purpose in which we celebrate it, that we make sure we do not let that happen in our own personal lives. And all of us, I'm sure, today would say we've made those efforts. We've tried to do that. We've tried not to get caught up in the frenzy and the rush, the buying all the gifts and the Black Fridays and getting those special deals and all those things, that we don't get caught up in all of that and miss the very purpose in which we celebrate Christmas. And as much as we purpose in our hearts that we'll not let that happen, that gifts are not what this is all about. I don't care about getting gifts from others. I should not be concerned about buying all these gifts for everybody else, all my friends and loved ones. But as much as we attempt to try not to do it, how many of you find yourself doing it anyhow? If we're honest, just be honest. It's okay. Can we be honest in church? If there's anywhere we can be honest, can we be honest in the house of God? But do we not, to some extent, we still get caught up in the thing? We do. It's a fact of the matter. No matter how hard we've tried to not do it, we find ourselves doing that very thing. And so here we are at this time of season. Christmas season is at the point now. It's come and it's gone. We've celebrated another one, and man, it's fleeting, isn't it? Like I said, it's like a wedding. It's like a wedding. All that preparation, all that money and stuff, and then all for a 30-minute service. It's come and it's gone. And then afterwards, you walk away and you're thinking, why in the world did we do all this stuff? Why in the world did we spend all this money? Couldn't we have done that a whole lot cheaper? It's for 30 minutes. It comes and it goes. Amen. Is your wedding that way? Mine was that way. It is coming, it goes, okay? But listen, but here's the thing. And now it's the time that we sit back and we evaluate what just happened, all right? It's the after effect, the aftershock, if you will. And now it's that time of evaluation. Christmas has come, all the hype and all the hoopla and the getting together and the festivities, and now it's over with, and now we're in the evaluation mode. You know, did we do enough? Did we do too much? Are we in financial straits? What are we going to do? I mean, you know, it's just that way. We start evaluating. We even begin to evaluate the gifts that we got and the gifts that we gave. You know, it's that, you know, did I give the best gift I could give? Did they enjoy what I gave them? I sure hope they did. And then you begin to evaluate your own gifts that you received. Now, that's a very interesting time, isn't it? When you start looking at the gifts that you received, and you begin to think about those gifts, and we begin to categorize them gifts. And some gifts, man, you were excited when you opened them up. You cherished that gift that was given you. But then there's other gifts that you open them up and you're shocked at what you received. Anybody like that besides me? Sometimes you open up gifts and you open it up and you act like, you know, oh, it's what I've always wanted. And you're looking here and you're thinking, what in the world were they thinking? What were they thinking? You know, and you've already begun to categorize your gifts. Okay, you put the gifts over here, the ones that you love and you cherish. You know, you thank God for, woo, I needed that. That's exciting. Always wanted one of them, never got one. Now I've got one. Don't know what to do with it, but I'm glad I got it. And then you have that stack of gifts over here that is, they're the things that are, they're okay. They're not too bad. They're worth re-gifting. You'll keep them because you think, man, I could re-gift this. And I'll give this to somebody else, you know, later on. You know, we've got birthdays coming up, anniversaries, that kind of stuff. I may just hold on to it till next Christmas and re-gift this thing. Won't cost me a dime. And anybody do that kind of stuff? Re-gifting? Or you got friends that do that, all right? Just raise your hand. Those of you raised your hand. You got friends that do that, okay? I got a friend of mine that is notorious for re-gifting. And it's so funny because I know how they are. But it's so funny when they'll give me a gift, a birthday gift or something, and I get it, you know, and it's one of those things I'm looking at, what were they thinking? You know, why did they give me this? And then I realized, I could tell, I said, oh, they just re-gifted is all they done. They had something in the closet they were holding on to, and they re-gifted it. And so those gifts, they have a little more value. They're worth, you know, saving some dignity that you wouldn't feel too bad about re-gifting and giving it to somebody else later on, saving yourself a little money. But then you have those gifts that you can't wait to get them back to the store and get something else that you want. Amen? There's them gifts that you get and that you just know, I don't want this. I do not want this. I got no use for this. And I'm just going to go ahead and go back to the store and exchange it or get my money back for something else. Get some things I was wanting I didn't get. That's what I'm going to do. And so we begin to categorize and evaluate the gifts that have been given to us. And I say all this because at this point, now that Christmas is past, and we've gotten involved in the gift exchanging, the gift giving, the gift receiving, and we begin to evaluate what has taken place, and we realize that we got caught up once again. Didn't mean to, didn't want to, tried to avoid it, but we got caught up anyway. And we gave gifts. Maybe we gave more than we should have. We bought more than we needed to. And here we are. And we have all these gifts. And it's been a stressful time. Some of you right now, your blood pressure has been the lowest it's been in a long time. It's dropped down several notches, all right, because of all the stress of the Christmas season, getting caught up in the rat race and the purchasing frenzy. And right now, man, you're feeling better than you have in a long time because all of a sudden, man, you're getting a little bit of respite here. You're getting to come off a little bit, and it's not as stressful as you have been. And as Brother David has preached so eloquently the last several weeks, talking about these things and facts of life in our culture, but because of what our culture has made this thing of Christmas all about, that it's a time where the stress levels, people's stress levels are out the roof. People's blood pressures are out the roof. People's financial debt is out the roof. Even suicide rate during this time of year is off the scale. Depression that people are going through in their personal lives during this time of year peaks during the Christmas season, the holiday season. All of this over a time in which we're to be celebrating the greatest gift that's ever been given. The gift that is incomparable to anything else you and I could ever imagine or think of or could ever be given or give ourselves has been given in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you and I. And yet, we look and we come out of this Christmas season Glad that we've made it one more time. Glad that we're through and now we face the repercussions of our actions leading up to this point. And saying that and all of this, I say this, is that gifts are given on various criteria. When you think about the gifts that are given, now go with me on this and we'll lead up to what we're going to talk about this morning. And that is the greatest gift that's ever been given. Now, you already know the answer to that. All right, so there may be somebody in here, though, that doesn't. There may be somebody in here amongst us that doesn't know the greatest gift ever given. So I don't want to catch you punching them or whispering to them and telling them. Don't give them the punchline, all right? Don't let them know yet and blow the surprise for them. But you already know what I'm talking about. If you're saved this morning and you've placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and who He is. But as we look at gifts and considering that Christ Jesus was the greatest gift that could ever be given to this world, that was the greatest gift that was given unto man, and consider in light of that, I want us to break down this morning and look at what constitutes a gift. What makes this gift so special and so unique? And I want to do that by looking at something that all of us can look at in a practical manner, and that's the gifts that we receive of one another. And as we do that, I want to first say and lay out this, is that gifts are given on the basis of various criteria. Number one, we often give gifts out of obligation. Anybody besides me ever given a gift out of obligation? I've given gifts that way. I've given gifts, and my wife, bless her heart, I love her, and she is one of the most giving persons I know. She'd give everything she had to somebody else if she could, if I'd allow her to do it. And every year as we approach the Christmas season, I know her heart. And I know she wants to give every single family member, every distant family member, every neighbor, every loved one, every dear friend. She wants to buy them all gifts. Somehow, some way, she wants to buy them a gift. I know that. But often, you know, there'll be people who give you gifts. You know they're going to give you a gift that you typically wouldn't have the intention of buying a gift for them. You try to keep it to that inner circle, the family, the immediate family, the inner circle of friends that you're closest with. And so your intentions as you approach the Christmas season is not to go out and buy a gift for every single person that you know and that you care about and that you love. It's that kind of understanding, you know, underlying rule, okay? We don't have to buy each other gifts. I know you love me. I love you. Glad that we're family. Glad that we're friends. But we ain't got to buy each other gifts. But many times, you know, there are certain people, they're going to give you a gift. They're just going to do it. That distant aunt or that distant relative or cousin or somebody that you never see, and you know every year because of their track record, they're going to send you a gift. And you feel obligated, well, I've got to get them something also because I know they're going to give me something. And so we fall in that trap. And then many times there are people that come up, and have you ever gotten a gift that was totally unexpected? Somebody came up and gave you a gift, a nice gift. And after you open it and you receive that gift from them, then you feel what? You feel obligated. Now you've got to turn around and go and get them a gift. And so a lot of times gifts are given out of obligation. But not only that, but many times gifts are given out of convenience. Out of convenience. That's why when you re-gift something, you give that thing and you don't mind giving it. Why? Because it's convenient. It didn't cost you anything. A lot of times we'll give folks a gift just out of pure convenience. It's easy. It doesn't cost us anything. We have nothing invested in it. So we don't mind parting with it and giving it away. And so many times gifts are given out of convenience, out of obligation. But you know what the greatest gifts, Brother Travis, are those gifts that are given out of love. There's nothing I cherish more than those little gifts. Not much in value. Very sentimental. That somebody made. Or that somebody that you know don't have a penny to their name. But you know had to sacrifice to give you a little something. Because they just wanted to show you that they loved you and they cared about you. Those are the gifts that mean more than anything else. Those are the ones that you cherish and you hold on to. It's kind of like if you're a parent and them children of yours come home and they draw you that picture and they write all over it, "I love you," or something like that that means so much to them. And it was unprovoked. Teacher just told them, just draw whatever you want to, color something. And then your child comes home and they give you that stuff. We know, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's that stuff you pin on your refrigerators. Grandparents, you know what I'm talking about with them grandchildren. That's that stuff, you know, you look at it, it looks like chicken scratch. You don't know what it says or anything else. All you see is somewhere on there it has a big old heart and stick figures. It's supposed to be you and them and whatever. And you pin that on your wall. You pin that on your refrigerator. Why? Because it was given out of love. Unprovoked love. Those are the greatest gifts. Those are the gifts that mean the most to us. And so we see that gifts, they're categorized, they're various in criteria on how we give them. But that one of love is what I want to talk about this morning. That greatest gift that's ever been given, given out of love. And you know what? The best gifts received are those that are given out of love. This is an old statement that I know you've probably heard many a time. I love this. I don't know who coined this thing, but I've used it. I've heard many use it before as well. But talking about loving and giving. And it says this simply, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Can I say that again? You can give without loving. We've already laid that foundation. We can give out of obligation. We can give out of convenience. We can give out of abundance because it doesn't cost us anything. It's nothing off our backs. We can part with things with ease. But you cannot love without the desire to give to the one you love. And that's what we see here that God did for all mankind. God loved us so much. God loved you. God loved me. God loved this world so much that He did what, church? He gave. He gave. John 3:16 spells it out for us. It lays out this very thought, this very principle about love and giving. And it tells us the heartbeat of God. It tells what drove God to do what He did. If you look in your Bible with me, look at John 3:16, and I'll have you turn a few places here, or it's on the screen there. You can just read it off the screen there. But John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Out of love, God did that very thing. He gave the gift. He gave the very best that He had. Why? Out of love. Out of love for humanity. Out of love for His creation. But not only that, but I want you to see, not only that the gift is given, and that's the first thing I want you to see here, is what constitutes a gift? What constitutes a gift? Well, the first thing, obviously, is it's something that's got to be given. You can't call it a gift if it's not been given from one party to the next. And so the first thing that constitutes a gift is the fact it must be given. And here we see that out of love, God gave. He gave His only begotten Son. But not only that, but I want you to look then. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. But here's what it says. "For if you love them which love you, what think ye, have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same." And with this here, we say is that, you know what? It's easy to give to those that you love. I mean, that is a driving force behind most giving, is our love for someone else. But Jesus goes as far and says, you know what? But hey, what big deal is that you give to those you love? That you would meet the needs of those that you love? He said, hey, sinners do that as well. And in this context of this scripture here in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is talking to us about that we should love our enemies, that we should love those that hate us, that despise us, that look to do harm to us, that we're to love everyone, even those that we would count as our enemies. And if you can love them, now you're doing something that's not natural. Now you're doing something that only God can produce in you, that only God can produce in me, is a love that is beyond the comprehension and the nature of man. We give to those that we love, that we like, that we enjoy being around. But how many of you could honestly say this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ and the gift that God gave you and I, and He gave it to you and I when we were unlovable, when we were His enemy. And if we're celebrating Christ, the gift that was given, and it was given when it was not deserved, how many of us this Christmas season practiced a little of that Jesus demonstrated to you and to I and to the whole world? How many of you could raise your hand and say, "Brother Todd, this Christmas season, we didn't make it about giving gifts to those we love. We made it about giving gifts to those we don't even know. To those that are down and out. To those that were strangers. To those that we might say don't like us or like our type. That has no use for Jesus or the church or any of that God stuff." How many gifts did we purchase? How many gifts did we invest in the life of somebody else that to us is unlovable? To us is undeserving of us spending a dime on them. But we went out of our way to do something, to give a gift to someone else, even if it was in just the simple form of a little New Testament tract or a little New Testament Bible. What better gift to give a stranger, to give someone out there that you would know or think or have a good feeling or a good hunch that those they're lost without Christ? What better gift could you give them than to tell them about the greatest gift that's ever been given in the Lord Jesus Christ? But what do? We focus on giving to those we already love and we already know loves us. That's what we do. But that ain't what Christ did. That ain't what Christ did. That's not what He demonstrated to us. And look at here what in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Romans 5, 8, very familiar verse. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave His love. He demonstrated His love. He gave the gift that keeps on giving in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it when you and I were unlovable. Not only that, were we unlovable, but look at Romans 5:10, what He says there. He goes on and He tells us that for if when we were enemies, did you hear what the Word of God said? For if when we were enemies of God, we were His enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Church, that's true giving out of love. When you give to those that are not going to love you back, to those that hate and despise you, that is true giving in the light of what Christ did and demonstrated for you and I. And when we celebrate this time of season for what Christ has done for us, what God has done for this world in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help us as a church to understand, let us demonstrate that same kind of love and that same kind of spirit of giving to a lost world, a lost and dying world that is in enmity with God, that is in enmity with the cross, that is in enmity with the Word of God. Let us concentrate. Let us make our focus, make our purpose in this time of the season and year around to give the greatest gift that's ever been given to us unto others that needs it as much as you and I do. Amen? Out of love, love our enemies, love those that hate and despise us. For that's exactly, church, where we were at when God demonstrated His love to you and I. But not only that, but a gift must be given. But second, a gift is meant to be received. How many of you ever been given a gift and you rejected it? Not many. If you're like me, you go to the birthday parties, you have a birthday party, a Christmas party, whatever, you gather around and people's got gifts with your name on it. I've never, Brother Kyle, rejected one of them. I never looked at it and said, "Nah, I don't want that. I got more than I need." See that big stack over there? I don't need all that. No, let's be honest with ourselves. The more, the merrier. The bigger the pile of presents are, the happier we are. That's the only reason you invite a whole bunch of people to come to your birthday party. It's not that you power around with all them folk. You just know that the more people I get here, the more presents. Amen? The more the opportunity goes up that I'm going to get some money or some nice gifts, the more people come to the party. And so that's the way it is. We're not into rejecting gifts. But hey, a gift is not meant to be rejected. A gift is meant to be received. It's meant to be received. And so we see here, John 1:12, what does the Bible say concerning that? The Bible says in John 1:12, that but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might receive him. Receive him. Now, whether the gift is given and it's received or rejected, it doesn't change the gift, does it? It doesn't change the gift that's given. It's still a gift. Whether you receive it or reject it, it doesn't change nothing about that gift. When we think about that God has given his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave him as a gift unto this world that stood in need, that was separated from God, needed to be reconciled unto God, and through his son, God was going to accomplish this. And when we think about it, when he died on that cross, shed his blood, Hebrews deals with this over and over again, talking about how the fact is that he died once. It only took once, church. Once. One sacrifice, one supreme sacrifice in Christ Jesus to satisfy the wrath of God, to satisfy the demand God had on a fallen humanity. It took Jesus, the supreme sacrifice, one holy lamb, as we've sang about. One holy lamb laid down on that altar, that rugged cross, hung there between heaven and earth, shed his blood, gave up his life, buried, resurrected. It only took once. And God satisfied man's need for eternity. What are you saying, Brother Todd? I'm saying this. We don't often think of it this way. But every person walking around is lost without God. Do you know their sins have already been forgiven them? Do you know the penalty's already been paid? When he shed that blood, church, listen, when he shed that blood on that cross, it paid right then and there, it paid for the sins of all mankind, for the whole world. It doesn't change the gift. Those people walking around lost without Christ don't realize how blessed they are that their sins have been paid for. They've been purchased. And all they've got to do is believe it and receive the gift for it to be applied to their soul. Amen? We often don't think about it that way. We think about, the moment they believe, then that blood washed their sins away. No, he took care of it way back there on the cross. It's already been done. It's a done deal. They just got to come to the place. They surrender and believe and receive the gift that's been offered to them. Amen? So here we see, but as many as received him, gave you power to become the sons of God. So not only do we see here the gift is meant, it has to be given. The gift is meant to be received. But then I want us to look at those best gifts. As I said earlier, just a moment ago, we talked about, you know, as all the pressure we put on ourselves about giving that very perfect gift. And we think about that and we begin to dwell upon. I love what we did last week. We had some testimonies. And ask several of you here in the church, what was your favorite Christmas memory? That particular Christmas, maybe that you got something special that year. And the one that keeps coming back to me the most is Brother Troy's. Brother Troy Norris, he talked about getting that motorcycle and getting surprised by that motorcycle. Didn't think he got it. And Daddy sent him out in the garage, and there it was, that shiny new motorcycle out in the garage. And that brought back to me as well, one of my favorite Christmases as far as something I got that really meant a lot to me was the very same thing. The two Christmases, one I was 7 years old, got my very first motorcycle, one of them little Honda 50s. And the same thing, the house we lived in, we had a fireplace that sat right in the middle of the living room. So you had the living room on one side, and then on the back side of the fireplace was kind of like a dining area. And so we know we're always over here on this side in the living room area. It's where the Christmas tree was, and we got up that Christmas morning. All the gifts were there and stuff, and I had no idea at all. I wasn't asking for the motorcycle or anything. But anyway, so we're all opened all our gifts and stuff, and I thought we were done. And a few minutes, you know, after we'd sat around and played with some stuff for a while, I remember my dad doing the same thing. And he says, son, go around there and get something. And he said, there's something over there in that corner. And he told me what to go over and get. And on the other side of the fireplace, I couldn't see it. In the other room there, in the corner, he had that little motorcycle. Had it parked up in the corner and had something in front of it, hiding it from me. And I never forget getting that motorcycle. And then later on, I remember getting my first go-kart, and I was about 10. Man, you're talking about having some fun. That was a special Christmas with that getting that go-kart. And so we think about some of the best gifts that we ever received. And a lot of times when we get those gifts, we also think about the gifts that I didn't want to get. Any of you here, it's kind of like y'all all watched the Christmas Story before, hadn't you? I don't know how you could miss it. They run it 24 hours throughout the holiday season. So, but I think about the Christmas Story, and I think about the aunt that sent the pink bunny suit. All of us have got that kind of aunt, right? And I can remember growing up, my Aunt Dot, man, I loved my Aunt Dot. She was a very, very special lady in our life and spent a lot of time. She didn't have kids of her own, so her nieces and nephews were kind of like her kids. And so, but it was guaranteed every Christmas that my aunt was going to get us socks and underwear. And you knew it. I mean, it was not nothing, you know, it wasn't a secret. You wasn't like, you know, I hope she got me something different this year, you know, and you're tearing it open. You knew the gifts you got from Aunt Dot was going to be the things that you needed. They're socks and underwear. And I used to hate it, like all kids do. Any kids in here like getting clothes or the stuff that you need? No, you do. You're lying. All right. I'll meet you at the altar, okay? At invitation, you come repent. But you hated that. You hated that. You wanted the toys, man. I wanted the Tonka trucks, the Hot Wheels, the motorcycles, the go-karts. I wanted all the fun stuff, the video games. That's all the stuff you were wanting. You know, clothes we can get any time of the year, you know. Socks and underwear, I mean, I got a drawer full, man, you know, and they'll last. But isn't it funny how things change as you get older? And now, brother, I look forward, Brother Jimmy, I look forward every year now to getting some brand new socks and underwear. Yeah, I do. I look forward to it every year. I mean, it's like, man, I can't wait. I finally get something I need. It's a necessity. And so now, you know, I don't buy that during the year. You just make it last. You know, got holes in it, stretched, whatever. It don't matter. You just make it through because you know, come Christmas this year, all right, now that we've gotten older and we're beyond the toys and stuff, or some of us are beyond the toys. Some of us still like some toys, but you know what? I know I'm going to get some of that I need. And I look forward to it, you know, to getting that new stuff that I need. And so, but when we think about the best gifts received, we put the pressure on ourselves. Man, I want to make sure I get the very best gift I can for them. I want to surprise them. I want to give them something that's going to blow them away. They're never expecting it. And isn't that how we do? I mean, we're always looking for that perfect gift. And we put the pressure on ourselves that when we give it, then we were concerned, did I give the very best gift I could give? Did they really like it? And then, of course, you're like me sometimes later on, after Christmas is over with, you see the gift, you're like, oh, I should have got them that. You know, why didn't I get them that? Why didn't I think of that? You know, and so we focus on that, the best gifts. But and here's what I want you to see, these last points here as we get ready to close. But here's the best gifts received, they meet one of three things. If we really are honest with ourselves, the best gifts that we receive, not necessarily something that we just want. It's not necessarily just something that, you know, is nice to have, you know. But the best gifts are, number one, the gifts that we need. It's a gift that we need. I like what Charles Stanley said about Christ being the greatest gift ever given. He said, Jesus is God's precious and perfect gift to us. He is a heaven-sent gift, willingly given at great cost because, listen to this, because we were in desperate need. That's where man was. That's where you and I was. When Jesus found you, when Jesus found me, You know what? He found me and you in desperate need of Him. He goes on to say, the Father's offer of salvation through His Son is both personal and universal. Whoever receives Him discovers His unlimited worth. And I say amen right there. The unlimited worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you, church, today, maybe someone here today that does not know Christ, you've never accepted Him in the free pardon of sin. May I tell you, there's nothing that compares to Jesus. You can't put a price on Him. He's unmatchless. There just ain't nobody like Him, Brother Mark. And the greatest gift that was ever given, you know what? I needed Him. You need Him. I don't know how anybody can live and go through this world without Him. I just don't know how. I know the times where I feel down and out. I feel hopeless sometimes. I feel worn out, stressed. Find myself in predicaments only God can get me out of. And at least I can turn to Him and know He's there for me. That in the worst of times, in the most difficult situations I could find myself, in the worst case scenarios that life could throw at us, I'm so thankful to know He's there and He's faithful. And He's sufficient for my need, Brother Travis. He's all sufficient. And how in the world could anybody go through this life trying to make it without Jesus? Not having Him to lean on, not having Him to turn to, not having Him to pick you up and remind you of who He is and what He's done for you. I just don't know how they can do it. You can't put a worth on Him. He is an unlimited worth, as Charles Stanley said here, when we think and we meditate upon what Christ has given us, what God has given us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the best gifts that you and I can receive are those, not only those that meet a need in our life, but it's those that are greatly enjoyed. Greatest gifts are those that we look back and, man, we greatly enjoyed those gifts. That's why I remember the motorcycle and the go-kart, you know, because, boy, I enjoyed them to the nth degree. I enjoyed that go-kart, Brother Lynn, so much, I wore wheels off the thing. I broke wheels off of it. My daddy couldn't keep wheels welded on it because I'd get out there doing donuts and jumping hills and mounds and everything else. I mean, I tore that go-kart up. Every time I turned around, he had it back in the shop, having to weld it together, piece it together, so I could enjoy it a little more. There's nothing like those gifts that you can enjoy, that keep on getting enjoyment out of them in your life. But you know what? There is no greater joy than knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. There is no greater joy. And as the Bible says here in 1 Peter 1:8, the Bible tells us that joy is joy that's unspeakable. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that ever goes on, that ever satisfies. It's a joy that we can't even, there's not words, I believe, in the English language that could define the joy of what goes on in the life of a believer when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior and the Lord of your life. We got a couple of young men here the other night. If you weren't here in the candlelight service, two of our young men came forth and surrendered their life, feeling that God is called them to ministry. And speaking with them after the service, I asked them, I said, man, how's that feel? How's that feel now, man, when you just lay it all out, when you throw in with Jesus and throw the towel down and say, Lord, I give up. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I'm tired of trying to let you be Lord over certain areas of my life and then holding on to other areas for myself. How does it feel when you just let go of the reins and say, God, here it is. I'm laying myself all completely on the altar. And one of them, I believe Caleb said, he said, man, it's just like getting saved all over again. And I said, amen. That's exactly how I put it. When I surrendered to the call to preach, that's the only words I could say when somebody come up and ask me that question. How does it feel? What was that like? And I said, you remember when you got saved? And they said, yep. And I said, just like that. All over again. Just all over again. Because why? Because God brings us to a place of surrenders in our life. There's a series of surrenders that has to take place in my life, in your life, as we grow in the truth and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings us to those places of surrenders. And so we see here, but that joy, there's nothing like that joy of knowing Christ, having the gift of eternal life that has been given to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But, boy, don't you love them buts when God throws them in there. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's that gift. He's that gift that keeps on giving. He's that gift that brings great joy, that meets a need in my life. And the third and last thing we see here, the best gifts ever received are those that are worthy to be shared. Those that are worthy to be shared. As I was saying about that go-kart or that motorcycle, and many of you got other things, but you know there's nothing like when you get something that means a lot to you, that's very precious in your sight, and you're enjoying that thing. The thing that even makes that joy greater is being able to share it with somebody else. Getting them in on what you got in on. I can remember taking that go-kart. I couldn't wait till it got daylight outside. Neighbors around there probably hated me that morning at 8 a.m. on Christmas Day. And I all of a sudden, whang, you got this go-kart flying up and down our road in the neighborhood. But what was I doing? Man, I wanted to get out there and I wanted everybody to know what I got for Christmas. And not only that, but I went down to all my buddies down the street. You know what I did? Man, if they weren't up, I was rapping on the door and I was waking them up. Man, come on out here. But we got something to do today. And we get out there, and man, all I want to do was get my buddies on the motorcycle or get my buddies on the go-kart and ride until we sweat. And you know how long that was. We rode a long time because we weren't sweating, man. We were just flying up and down that road, enjoying ourselves. The greatest gifts, guys, that we receive are those that we enjoy. And we want to share it with somebody else. We want them to enjoy what we've been given. And so it is, guys, with Christ. If there's no gift like Jesus, if there's no greater gift that's been given to man, then let me ask you, why are we not doing a better job sharing the gift that has brought us so much joy? For the gift that's met the greatest need in my life, in your life, why are we not sharing him with others and keeping him to ourselves? You know, here's what Jesus said about this thing of giving, Brother Kyle. Over there in John chapter 17, as Jesus is talking to the Heavenly Father, here's what he said. Jesus said in John 17:18, As though thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 20 goes on, he says this, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Now he's speaking of his disciples that he'd spent 3.5 years pouring his life into, and he's praying unto the Father, and he says, as God, as you've sent me into this world, and you've given me these men to pour my life into, he said, just as you have sent me into the world, now I send them. Now it's time to cut the apron strings. Now it's time to let the rubber hit the road. Let them get busy doing that which I called them to do, and that was to go forth preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling the world that the greatest gift had been sent, that the greatest gift was among them, and that the greatest gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what they were called to do. And Jesus himself said, as I send them out, as I've been sent in the world, now I send them out in the world, and I'm not just praying for them alone, but I'm praying for all those that are going to believe on me through their word. Do you know that applies to you and I also, church, today? God saved you and I. We have become children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We are ambassadors of Christ. And now he has sent forth and commissioned you and I, just as he sent his son Jesus into this world to meet a need the world could not meet itself. Now that we have received that gift, here's what he desires of you and I, church, to go forth and share that gift with the rest of the world that knows him not. That is the greatest gift, is a gift worthy to be shared. As we stand to our feet this morning and our musicians make their way forward, I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where you're at when you walked in these doors this morning. I don't know if you're still recovering. You walked in here kind of just in the mully grubs. Maybe you're one of those that a little depression comes upon you during this time of year for various reasons. I don't know what your situation is this morning, but you've come in here this morning. You've got a need that needs to be met. You can say, Brother Todd, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. I've received that gift that you've preached on this morning. That greatest gift that was given by our Heavenly Father above. But I have other needs in my life. There's things that I need Jesus to just get a hold of. I need to get to a place where I can come down, I can just let these things, lay them on the altar. Turn them over to Jesus. I've wrestled with them. I've tried figuring them out. I've tried working it out myself to no avail. Maybe you've come in here that way this morning. Christmas time, these last few weeks, and all that constitutes the holiday season, it's not full of joy for you. It's not full of excitement. Maybe it's not been full of a lot of giving and receiving and a lot of demonstration of love. Maybe this morning you just need to get alone with the Lord. Let Him love on you a little bit. Love Him back. Don't hesitate this morning. These altars are open. The music's playing. We'll pray here in just a moment. But you ain't got to wait on none of that. Come to these altars and just get alone with God. Maybe there's somebody this morning, you come in and you say, Brother Todd, I've never received that gift of eternal life. I've never received that greatest gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I know about it. I know all about the gift. I know all about Him. I know all about the reason for the season and all the meaning and such. But you know, I've never allowed Him to bring me to such a place of conviction as I'm standing in right now, realizing that I've rejected that gift. Up to this point, I've rejected it. May I say to you, don't leave this building this morning till you know that you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've received that gift. The gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You say, well, Brother Todd, I've been in church a long time. I'm even a member. So? But what will people think? I've been playing church for a long period of time, but I'll be honest this morning, I've never truly received the gift offered to me in Christ Jesus. You know what would bring great joy in this church this morning? You know what? Everybody in here would rejoice with you. But I'd be ashamed. No, you won't. Not when you experience that joy unspeakable. Those you think you'd be ashamed of, make fun of, you know, they'd be rejoicing with you, crying tears of joy to see you walk that aisle. Stop playing church. Stop putting on the facade. And receive that gift that's been given. Again, I don't know where you're at this morning, but as the music plays and Brother Tony leads us in invitation, have you been washed by the blood? You notice we sing a lot about the blood this morning. That's on purpose. Because you don't get Jesus without getting that blood. Amen. Christianity is bloody, isn't it? Yes, it is. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God had already made provision for the necessity of mankind. So we come by the way of that blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Jesus is looking for the blood. His blood applied to those that will believe and receive Him as Lord and Savior. If you had never trusted Him, you've never been washed in that blood, oh, I pray, don't hesitate. As they play, won't you come?